This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass.
Thanks, Tass. Now, our next guest is Maggie Toko. Maggie is the Deputy Commissioner of the Mental Health Complaints Commission. And we'd love to, you know, we've got Maggie here. We want to have a chat about really a number of issues about how the mental health of Victorians has been impacted by COVID-19, and specifically the LGBTIQ community. Good morning, Maggie. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Can you give us a handle on what sort of complaints the Commission sees? And actually, tell us what the role of the Commission is and what sort of issues you've seen people raising with you.
Well, the Commission is a specialist body established under the Mental Health Act, safeguard the rights and resolve complaints about Victorian public mental health services and recommend improvements. We deal with quite a large number of complaints on a regular basis. And they vary from services that people don't receive when they're in public mental health systems, hospitals, to treatment that they've received that's not appropriate. It varies across the board.
What sorts of complaints are you getting from members of our community? What sorts of themes are emerging?
Well, so some of the complaints are around not being recognised for gender. We've had a number of complaints from trans people around not being recognised when they've been in hospital for their gender and being using the wrong pronouns and things like that on an ongoing basis. So it doesn't happen once, it happens several times.
Have you seen an increase, Maggie, in these, in the most, let's say the last 3 months? I know there might be a bit of a lag with the reporting mechanism, but have you seen an increase in these sort of complaints?
Well, they're more pronounced
at
the moment. They're more pronounced. But we've certainly had a number of complaints since COVID-19 kicked in around different issues confronting people.
So it's more the, so it's a more severe complaint or a more serious complaint rather than necessarily an increase in the numbers substantially?
Oh, no, I think there's an increase in the numbers.
Okay.
There's an increase in the numbers and the seriousness of the complaints haven't changed.
And Maggie, you're getting complaints from members of our community about their engagement with, say, private sector services, whether it be their local GP or a psychologist or a psychiatrist that they're seeing outside the public health system?
Well, we don't. That's really out of our scope.
Oh, I see.
So that's not to say we don't receive those kinds of complaints, but we have to we acknowledge them in a different way because they're out of scope for what we do.
So you're a bit like the complaints reference body for public sector mental health services.
That's right. So, but that doesn't mean that we see those complaints though. Because people are, they don't know where to go, so they do come to us. We receive a number of complaints that are out of scope for different issues that people are dealing with private psychiatrists, private services, GPs. So we see a broad range of those types of complaints.
So Maggie, you've already mentioned that you're getting a strong theme in your complaints has been around misgendering of some of the mental health consumers and incorrect recognition of their preferred gender. So what do you do with a complaint and what do you do with that issue? Yeah. I mean, you don't just sort of write a nice letter back saying thank you for your complaint. Like, what action do you take to actually create system-wide changes around that?
So the process that happens is we have a resolution saying where those complaints come to first and they respond to all initial complaints. We have an investigation team for more serious complaints that can't be dealt with most immediately. So what we do, what the resolution team will do is they will they'll get as much information as they possibly can. They will they have the option of writing to the service to ask for an explanation about why things happened. The ability to make recommendations for those services of what they need to do, and this is done in coordination with the consumer who has made the complaint. So they're kept in the loop all the way along.
So interestingly enough, Maggie, what you're saying is that you can make recommendations, but you have no authority to actually create those changes?
Well, we have no... it depends on what stage the complaint is at, because we can actually make recommendations and we can make... we can follow those up to make sure that they've been implemented.
So let me give you a scenario. I complain about a psychiatrist that I've seen at a public hospital. You know, it's a serious complaint. I believe I haven't received professional care, etc. You know, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about a 7.
Yeah.
So you investigate it and then you say, yes, we agree, we believe that that is what has happened. That's not acceptable. What then happens, what enforcement mechanism is there for the recommendations that you make, in these serious cases? What are the outcomes for the patient, but also as important, for the system, I understand you make recommendations, but how do you influence the practitioners or the health service to implement them? Are they required to implement them?
In certain circumstances, they are. In certain circumstances, they are required to implement them. They are. We're quite strong in our recommendations that we make, and we can do an undertaking, which pretty much says. This is what we are suggesting occur.
Okay.
And we will monitor how that occurs and ensure that it happens.
Okay, in the event that it doesn't, obviously there are other mechanisms, the registration boards or whatever for that particular discipline. If people actually want to... well, make a complaint or to register a complaint or a concern. How do they do that, Maggie?
Well, they can just call us. We've got a 1-800 number.
Yep, 1-800.
I don't actually have it on me at the moment.
That's all right.
No problem. We'll look it up.
We'll look it up. Okay, and can they also, so they can ring, but can they also, you know...
They can email.
Okay.
The Mental Health Place Commission. And they're usually notified, they're usually responded to in quite a quick time, probably the next day.
Okay.
To have a discussion with one of the resolution staff.
Right. Because I think the thing that people are, you know, when you make a complaint, that, yeah, the number's 1-800-246-054. That when people make a complaint, yes, it's going to be investigated, you know, confidentiality, you know, I know that's a given. But that when you make a recommendation, that there is a requirement, you know, for the practitioner, you know, if it's found, if it's found that there was a valid basis for the complaint, that there is a mechanism, you know, for that issue to be resolved and for it not to happen again. I think that's really important for people.
Yeah, there are mechanisms for that. In circumstances where people name psychiatrists or GPs, they can go to APRA,
yeah.
Make a complaint to APRA. They can also make complaints about us if they feel that they haven't been heard. They can go to the Ombudsman. But generally, our resolution staff, they're fantastic, and we have a number of staff who have a lived experience, so they
can be quite empathetic. That's what you're saying.
That helps inform their work. Yep. Yeah,
Maggie. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I'm just going to read out your number again. So, if anybody wishes to make a complaint about their experience with the public mental health service system, call 1-800-246-054.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.